and it sounds cliche, but literally stay in your lane. Like, know what it is that you're doing, stick to what you're doing, grow in what you're doing, and just be where you are. You don't have to do everything for everybody. Like I said previously, every client isn't yours.
You're listening to The Solopreneur Hustle, a podcast that teaches you how to build a successful solo business while maintaining a balanced and fulfilling life. I'm your host, Nia Lewis, a business coach based in Charleston, South Carolina. The Solopreneur Hustle has a members-only Patreon community where you can connect with solopreneurs like yourself, chat with me about all things business, and get access to exclusive bonus episodes every single week. Visit patreon.com/thesolopreneurhustle or click the link below in the description for this episode to join our exclusive community for as little as $5 a month. You can also text business to 31996 to receive our monthly solopreneur newsletter that's jam-packed with business tips. All right, let's jump into this week's episode. Today we have Dominique Janea in our solopreneur guest chair. Dominique is a fashion designer based in the Charlotte metropolitan area. She's the founder and CEO of DeJanea Exclusive, her company that offers custom designed formal wear from prom dresses to bridal gowns. Dominique started her business with a mission to make every woman feel beautiful in their clothing, no matter the occasion. I'm going to let Dominique tell you guys her story for herself, but she just recently celebrated her first full year of being self-employed, and the conversation we had was so inspiring and insightful. I'm hoping many of you listening will feel motivated to immerse yourself in what feels uncomfortable in pursuit of your passions to step into your full potential. That's exactly what Dominique does, and in this episode, we will learn how she's built a successful business so far. I hope you all enjoy this episode. Thank you for joining us here in the Solopreneur Guest Chair today, Dominique. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so just to start out, tell us a little bit about your business and what inspired you to pursue entrepreneurship. I know you're about to celebrate, or you've just celebrated your 1 year anniversary of entrepreneurship. So tell us a little bit about your journey so far and what's brought you to this point.
Absolutely. So, you know, like Nia said, my name is Dominique, and I am the owner of DeJanea Exclusive. I personally design and sew custom gowns and dresses for women and little girls, currently with aspirations to delve into menswear in the future. But I design for, like, different occasions, like birthdays, prom, weddings, all evening wear, and just, like, milestone garments. And, you know, special event garments and things like that for women and little girls. I also do design ready to wear for women. So that's like, you know, like your more casual outfit things, maybe like for work or just for casually going out, brunches, even resort wear for vacations. So things like that. I'm just a full, right now, fully custom designer. So everything that I make is custom designed. As far as, you know, what inspired me to do entrepreneurship, so entrepreneurship for me has really been a family thing. Growing up, my aunts, uncles, and even my parents were entrepreneurs, even though they also, you know, worked corporate jobs or, you know, what have you. They also were entrepreneurs as well. And I like to say that I was sort of born into it. I can remember, even from when I was little, my mom used to sell toys. And she was like an affiliate for like this toy company, and she would do parties. And I guess from what you would say is like the like network marketing, she would do stuff like that. So it was like network marketing, but it was for a toy company. And me and my sister, we always just had all the, you know, all the dopest toys and everything like that. So I remember her doing that. My dad and my uncle are in business together. They used to do mechanic work also. My uncle, he owns a bus company. I have uncles that are carpenters and contractors, and my aunts and uncles just own different businesses and things like that. So it's just always been like a family thing for me. I saw it growing up and just kind of, I don't know, slid into it for myself. So just kind of innate, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sure seeing someone else having done entrepreneurship the way you wanted to do it attributed to you having the confidence to actually go out and start your business and say, you know what? Okay. I think I can do that because I've seen my family do it. If they can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I say, you know, I've actually been doing entrepreneurship for a while. It's just more so that I just kind of took the big leap, but you know, we'll talk about that later.
Right. So when did you decide to take the big leap? What gave you that push to say, okay, I'm going to seriously do this. I've been doing this for a while, but listen, this is my time to really go for it full force. When did you decide to take that leap?
When I took that leap, it was in November of 2018. So like you said, Nia, it's been a year since I've gone full time into entrepreneurship, full on into my business. And before that, I was working corporate America, doing customer service, things like that, phone, and all sorts of things. And I would come home very frustrated with my job because, of course, I wasn't happy with it. It wasn't something that I had passion to do. It was just the fact that it was paying the bills at the time. And right before I actually decided to leave my job, I had gotten contracted to do my first bridal gown. And that was a complete surprise because I was not even thinking about doing bridal, really. I just was doing prom at the time and like little ready-to-wear things here and there. And so When I was asked to do the bridal gown, I reluctantly said yes. But as time went on, I fell in love with the process. And I remember one particular night I worked on that gown until like 4 o'clock that morning. I had to be to work at 6.
Wow.
And I live, you know, in the Charlotte area. And if anyone knows about, you know, busy metropolitan areas, the traffic is horrible. So I had to leave home at least an hour before even getting to work. So that really only gave me an hour to take a nap, get up, wash, and, you know, do what I needed to do. And when I came home, it was like, all I could do was cry. And it was like, I can't do this anymore. And I was blessed, you know, to have the support system to where I didn't have to, I didn't have to continue doing that. And so that's when I took the big leap and was like, you know, let me really get serious about doing this because, you know, I have a God-given talent and a gift for this and a passion for it. So, you know, what better time than now? So I just put in my resignation and a week and a half later, I was out here on my own.
Wow, that's so inspirational. I mean, I almost just have chills hearing about that because, I mean, I think a lot of entrepreneurs can relate to being pushed to the edge. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. It's like, you know what? This situation is the last straw. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a gift. I'm passionate about it. God didn't give me this for no reason. So I have to either take it and run with it or sit on it and waste my gifts. I've experienced the same thing. And I just think it is so amazing how this opportunity to do this bridal gown just kind of fell into your lap. And you're like, okay, this is different, but I'm going to take the opportunity, even though it's uncomfortable. I think that really speaks to growth being about getting into situations that aren't necessarily comfortable because discomfort, being uncomfortable has kind of been my testimony of 2019. So I love hearing that. Yeah.
It's true. It's very true. And like, you know, like you said, just that bridal gown really pulled me completely out of my comfort zone. And since then, you know, I've been getting calls and, you know, clients to do gowns and things like that. And originally it wasn't something that I necessarily was going into doing, but I have really found my love for it and found my love for learning gowns and learning formal wear and couture. So it just kind of fell in my lap and I love it, honestly. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. So how did you actually learn how to design clothing? Did you have to invest in a course or was this something someone else taught you how to do? How did you learn how to do this? I look at your work on social media. For anyone who's listening, I'm going to tag Dominique's social media down in the show notes below. But your work is just amazing. How did you learn how to do that?
Thank you so much. Back in like 2012, I took a liking to design and I started like sketching. I wasn't sketching well, but I started having ideas of things I wanted to make. And And I always loved fashion and clothing, and I could really kind of blame my mama for that with my amazing shopping habits that aren't so, you know, good sometimes for my pockets. But, you know, always just being exposed to fashion, you know, just growing up in the South, growing up in Southern church, you know, my grandmothers, my aunties, my mommy, everybody just really dressed, you know, extravagantly for church. And I think that's kind of where it stemmed from, too. You know, my love for couture and my love for just the extraness of fashion in itself. So in 2012, I asked for a sewing machine for Christmas. Because, you know, every year my parents ask us what we want for Christmas, like one big ticket item. And I was like, a sewing machine. And I got a sewing machine that day, Christmas 2012. And I just remember being so excited. I actually just came across a picture that my mom took of me taking my sewing machine out the wrapping paper on Christmas Day. And I was so excited. And she told me, well, her and my dad both told me that, you know, if I want to learn it, you know, get to it, like figure it out. And I've always been like a self-learning kind of person. Like if it was something that I was interested in, like back when I was younger, I actually learned how to do hair. I did hair when I was like in middle school through high school. That actually was like one of my side hustles through college. So I knew I always could figure out how to do something. And so on Christmas Day, I sat down with my sewing machine. I pulled up YouTube and the instruction manual, and I went to town, and I literally just sat there, figured it out, trying to, you know, thread the machine or what have you. And ever since then, it's just been a constant, like, hunger for more knowledge of design through videos or through books. But it's just been a constant knowledge. And I wasn't taught. I didn't take any classes, no formal classes or anything like that. Everything is just based on trial and error and video learning, to be completely honest with you.
You know, we have so much at our fingertips these days through the power of resources like YouTube and Google. I mean, as long as you have a hunger for it, you said you just had a hunger to continue to absorb information and to learn as much as you could. I think there are so many more people these days that say that they're self-taught just because of the power that we have through the internet. In my opinion, there's really no excuse to not learn these days because there's so much information out there, even through Facebook groups and social media and YouTube. I mean, there's so much out there to be learned.
Yeah, it's very, very true. And, you know, even in going into this first year, well, I guess completing my first year full on entrepreneurship, you know, I've had more of a hunger to teach other people, even in the ways that I've learned. So, you know, that's something that's going to be coming soon too, because everybody learns things differently. And I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, you know, Dominique, you know, how did you learn how to sew? When I tell them, you know, I was self-taught, and, you know, it's just honestly just been a gift. They're like, man, like, do you teach? So that's something that I am getting into as well, because a lot of people have an urge for it and a hunger for it, but don't necessarily know where to look. And so, yeah, but it's just been a great journey so far. It really has, just with learning. And I'm learning every single day, every single day. I think a lot of times, you know, when you go into business, it's just like a lot of people may think, you know, you look at one book or you look at a video or you take one course and it's like, oh, I know everything. No, this entrepreneurship thing is you're constantly learning something new, whether it's about yourself or about your business or about people and how to handle people. So it's just, it's a constant learning experience, constantly.
Right. I saw this post on social media a few days ago, and it was about, and you know, sometimes when we start businesses, we have this vision at the end of this tunnel, you know, where we say, okay, if I finally get here, I'll be able to breathe. Okay, once I finally figure this out, I'll be off to the races. You know, my business will go where I want it to go once I finally learn this. But as soon as you learn something else, that opens up another door to have to learn something else. I mean, the learning never ends. And I think what you said is so true. You have to really be committed to learning consistently. Otherwise, you'll never make it. I mean, it's a continuous learning process. I learn something new every day too. So one thing that really stood out to me about what you said about your custom designs and really what you offer is that you have honed in your focus really on just custom designs. I mean, the fashion industry is so wide. How did you decide this formal wear, your, you know, your custom designs, your milestone pieces. How did you decide that was going to be your main focus?
So really with it fell in my lap, honestly. Like I said, with the bridal gown, it fell in my lap. For a minute, I couldn't really figure out what I wanted to specialize in. I just knew I liked to make clothes. And so when I did that bridal gown, I also had done prom, where I went into doing prom. And so when I went into doing prom, I just saw how much, I don't know how much of an impact a gown really made. Like I saw it with a wedding, you know, but seeing it with prom was a little different. I actually did a contest for prom this past year. And I made a gown for a young lady. I did a contest and I asked the contestants to send in like their story or what have you. And when I did that, you know, I had the opportunity to make a gown for a young lady and her story touched me so much. And I think it was just the fact of giving girls that particular confidence that came with wearing a beautiful gown. It's almost unexplainable. Like it just, wow. It really gave me a real sense of, okay, this is for real what I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, for me, I was a plus size, you know, a plus size girl growing up. I was a curvy girl growing up and am still plus size proudly. So, and I remember back then, you know, not necessarily having that type of confidence that I have now. Wow. And I think that's something that a lot of young girls may not necessarily have or don't really know how to handle, the gift of their body or how to handle the gift of curves that are just honestly just God-given. And we, because of the way that society has, I guess, conditioned us, we get into this thing of not feeling like, you know, we're good enough or, you know, clothes not fitting us correctly and, you know, just feeling like, well, maybe I'm just too big. Maybe I'm just not made right. And just the fact of being able to make a custom gown for a young girl and her being able to feel the way she felt on prom day, it just gave me a whole nother, like, it was just an eye-opening experience. Like, this is it. Formal wear is what I really want to do. And like I said, you know, I do other things as well, but that formal wear and prom and bridal, it gives me a whole nother, like, a whole nother, I don't know, feeling. It's just a whole nother feeling.
Yeah. Wow. And especially girls that are at the age of going to prom, you know, in their teenage years, I think, you know, even through what you do, through the custom designs and showing girls that, you know, being plus size is a gift. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree. I'm plus size as well. And I remember going shopping for prom dresses in high school and, you know, them not having any sample sizes that I could fit. And, you know, it was really just a really difficult experience. Yeah. And it was supposed to be something that was fun and exciting, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that really stands out, focusing or not focusing, but offering your services to plus sized girls for prom or even bridal is something that is just so powerful. And I really love what you said about being plus size being a gift. Mm-hmm. I think that's also so insightful.
Yeah, absolutely. And it took me a long time to really figure that out. It wasn't until really that I got to college and I was, you know, mm-hmm. 18 years old to where it was like, oh, like I get it now. Like I'm actually kind of dope. Like this is an issue. You know, this isn't a problem. And, you know, I even remember being younger and going shopping and, you know, crying in the fitting room because the clothes didn't fit. You know, I would take 15, 20 pieces of clothing in the fitting room, and I came out with maybe two, and I'm over here trying to fight back tears because we in a busy, you know, we're in a mall or a clothing store, and I don't want my mama to see me crying, and I don't want my sister to see me crying, and I don't want anybody else to see me crying, but it's all, right. Like, what, you know, what do you do? What do you really do? So, I mean, it was a journey. It really was a journey of self-acceptance, you know, self-esteem journey for me. And, you know, that's really what pushed me into sewing and designing. But it's just been a really an evolutionary journey just for me and myself to be able to do something like this. So, it's great.
That's so insightful, and I love that you have so much passion behind what you do, and also the fact that you've experienced this firsthand really allows you to offer such a unique and special experience for women that you know for sure are in the shoes that you were in maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, when you decided to get serious about your business and go full force for it full time, what steps did you take to start attracting clients? I know there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there who say, okay, I'm ready to take this first step, but I'm not sure I have enough clients to make ends meet. You know, it's a huge concern for a lot of early stage entrepreneurs. What advice can you give for attracting clients consistently and really showcasing your work in a way that makes people want to support you?
Right. So in attracting clients, first of all, you have to know exactly who your client is. You aren't everybody's provider. You aren't everybody's, well, actually, let me flip that around. Everyone isn't your client. Let me say that. So you really have to know exactly to whom it is that you're marketing to. For me, you know, bulk of my business comes from formal wear. So I know that I'm going to be marketing to brides, soon to be brides, also to prom. Prom is a huge market, especially for us independent designers. So I know that a bulk of my clientele is going to come from prom, which actually works for me, you know, on a positive note, because if a lot of young girls are going to prom, you know, they may go off to school. They're probably going to, you know, they'll have parties, birthday celebrations. They'll want birthday dresses. They'll eventually, you know, maybe get married. So they'll want a bridal gown. They'll eventually, you know, maybe have children. So they maybe will want a bridal shower gown. So it just kind of helps for me. So you just have to know exactly who your market is and who you're marketing to and really hone in on that. I mean, even down to demographics. The area that you're in, you know, how much does your potential client make? Mm-hmm. What is their disposable income? It gets really deep. So just to know exactly who it is that you're marketing to definitely will help in your business. And like I said, everyone isn't going to be your client, and that's okay. You know, for me, I was fortunate enough to have a huge community on Facebook. So even though, because I have been crafting and doing things, you know, over the years, I have family members and friends that know that Dominique just does crafty things. So when I made it known that I was making skirts, like back when I was just doing skirts, my community would share my posts. So Facebook and word of mouth was really big for me, especially now going full time and allowing me to level out my income. Something else that I had to get into was Instagram. I always had been on Instagram, but because Instagram is always changing so much, it's a little more difficult. But what I have found is that hashtags are huge. You want to make sure that your hashtags are to your target market. Every time you post those hashtags. And also, in this realm of millennial entrepreneurship, being an entrepreneur is great. It's awesome. And I think sometimes it is glamorized that, you know, all of your business is just going to magically come from social media. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but that's not necessarily true, especially if you're not really savvy with SEO and have different ways of people coming to funnels of people coming to your page and coming to your website and things like that. So one thing I would definitely tell entrepreneurs in attracting your clients is do the footwork, because a lot of times, even if I'm in a store and I may have on something that I made myself, or I have on a t-shirt with my brand on it, you know, people will ask me, you know, what's that? And believe it or not, people are not afraid to ask. So they'll be like, what do you do? Or if I'm in a craft store or in the fabric store, they'll be like, well, what are you making? That's a perfect opportunity for me to say what I'm making and what I do. I've gotten a lot of clients that way as well, just giving out my, you know, my business card in public. So don't be afraid to talk to people in real life, because it's real easy to shadow behind social media. But talking to people in real life is also a great way to engage with the clientele, and networking too, for sure.
Right. So many valuable nuggets there. So first of all, I agree with you for sure. I think millennial entrepreneurs forget about the basics when it comes to marketing, actually getting business cards and passing them out, be showcasing your brand and your business outside of social media. You know, I agree 100%. I think millennial entrepreneurs, a lot of millennial entrepreneurs want the success that they imagine without doing the legwork, like you said, putting in the work to make that a reality. They think a few Instagram posts, you know, posting a YouTube video, you know, putting up an ad on Facebook is going to result in all the business they imagine, forgetting that for most businesses, and this is a fact, I saw the statistic in an article I recently read, most business comes from word of mouth. We see viral influencers that blow up on social media, but that doesn't represent the majority of small businesses. The majority of small businesses get their business. They make the most money from referrals from their previous clients. And so I think that's so important to remember, you know, talking about what you do when you're out and about in a store can result in a new customer. And we get so caught up on social media that we forget about these little, you know, the basic marketing principles that can help us grow our businesses.
Definitely. And it actually reminded me, I had a client that I made a couple of pieces for. And like I said, I'm up in the Charlotte metropolitan area, and she's back in Charleston, where I get a lot of my clientele because I'm from Charleston. That's where a bulk of my community is. And my name came up like in a nail shop, and she was like, oh yeah, she made a couple pieces for me. And they were like, oh yeah, like I want to contact her to do my daughter's prom gown or something like that. So I was like, y'all talking about me in a nail shop? Like, that's dope. Like, oh, I don't make it. But, it was really flattering. You know, it was very flattering to know that somebody, you know, people knew my name just in the nail shop, but I'm not even in the city. So it was just, that's just a, you know, just a testament to what I said about just referrals and word of mouth. When you have a great product that people don't mind sharing and mind talking about, like, that's just going to bring you more business. So just always have pride in what you put out. And, you know, and it'll definitely show to your clients and to potential clients too.
Right. And I think what you said about, you know, really having pride in what you do, that's really what ends up resulting in the word of mouth. People only talk about you and share what you do when you give them great service, when you seem just as passionate about what you do as they're passionate about wanting a great product, you know? So really having pride in it is what has people talking about you in nail shops, you know?
Yeah, I'm telling you, girl.
Right. And then another thing you said about thinking about your clients as long-term customers, I think that's something else a lot of people forget, because we're always so focused on trying to attract the new people. Okay, I'm trying to get 10 new leads this week so I can book 2 consultations. You know, we're so focused on attracting new people that we forget about fostering the communities we've already created. So I loved your strategy there for thinking about a girl who's 16 and gets a prom dress designed from you, to you following through her whole life journey to then even make a dress for her baby shower, her 30th birthday. You know, it's really a long-term relationship that's so important to foster. We don't have to constantly be working to find new people. If we create a community of support, we don't have to do all that, you know?
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Yeah. I thought that was also really insightful. So reflecting on your first year in entrepreneurship as a whole, what are some of the most valuable lessons you've learned about business?
Oh, man. there's so many. And this actually helped me because I'm working on a blog post about this. So one of my first valuable lessons, and it sounds cliche, but literally stay in your lane. Like, know what it is that you're doing, stick to what you're doing, grow in what you're doing, and just be where you are. You don't have to do everything for everybody. Like I said previously, every client isn't yours. Mm-hmm. So just know what it is that you're doing. Stay focused to what it is that you are, what you specialize in, because it's so easy to look to the left and the right. It's you know, even as being an independent designer, because I'm connected to a lot of independent designers and have, you know, fostered relationships with these people. And a year ago, it was so easy to look and be like, man, like they did that? Like, I want to do that too. Or I like the way their business is structured. I like the way that they market. I like this and I like that from other people. But once you figure out exactly what it is that you are great at, it's so much easier to stay in your lane. And so it's just a whole lot easier to stay in your lane and stick to what it is that you are great at. So I would definitely just say that staying in my lane is one of my biggest lessons. Another one of my lessons that I've learned is that, and this is more so on the business side versus like, I don't know, it's on a little bit of a different scale, but mm-hmm. keep your overhead as low as you possibly can. And when I say keep your overhead as low as you possibly can, like I said previously, it's easy to look to the left or the right and see what people are doing. And it's easy to want to be like the Joneses and want to be flashy and have this website that costs you hundreds and thousands of dollars. But having a flashy website isn't going to help you if you don't have anyone coming to your business. And it's not going to help you also if you aren't putting out a quality product. So keep your overhead as low as you possibly can. For a long time, I worked with a free website. The website that I currently have is free, and I'm not afraid to say that because it doesn't take much to put out quality. When I get to the point that I can, you know, that I feel like I'll pay for someone to do a website for me, sure. But again, I'm a do-it-yourself kind of person, so I'll probably still do my own website, you know, depending on where I am at that point in business. But it's just, when you're an entrepreneur and you're self-funded like how I am, it's just a whole lot easier to not have so many extra bills and so many extra things that you have to put out money for, you know, versus what you have money coming in for. Because the first 4 to 5 years in business are the most important, because generally that's when businesses fail, in those, you know, those 4 to 5 years. And when you aren't being smart about your finances and honing in and really zoning in on what you're spending money on, you'll end up spending money on things that have absolutely nothing to do with anything in your business. And then you'll find yourself upside down because you don't have money to actually run your business and do what you need to do. So keeping your overhead as low as possible is definitely another valuable lesson for me. The last one I wanted to touch on was integrity. This one is huge. It's so huge because as a Black business owner, we already get a lot of flack because, you know, we have the stigma on us of not having the best business practices. So you have to be on your A game no matter what. You really have to just self-check even before becoming an entrepreneur, because integrity, that's just a basic human trait that I feel like all good humans should have in general. It just translates into being an entrepreneur. So you have to be honest, you have to be trustworthy, you have to be self-disciplined, and if you're not, then it will show through your business and it'll show through your products, and people won't come to you. So I definitely do a self-check daily, and I reflect on my business practices, my communications. You know, a lot of times with entrepreneurship, just having a business in general, we communicate through emails, and I communicate with my clients and customers through email and through text. So I always have to make sure that my language is professional. I have to make sure that nothing comes off as snarky or sarcastic or anything like that. Even if I'm not trying to be that way, you know, things can be perceived in written communication so many different ways. So I just have to be very careful about how that translates. And even when they meet me, because a lot of times they write me or they, you know, they'll email me before they even meet me. So I don't want them to have a preconceived notion about me before they even meet me face to face, because I meet all of my clients face to face, whether that's on, you know, on video call or in person. So integrity is definitely the hugest, the biggest, valuable lesson that I can definitely say, because it translates from life through business, and it just goes all the way around like that. So integrity is definitely a big one.
Right. Communication is so important. I think many entrepreneurs are so focused on their products, you know, on what they offer and developing their businesses that they forget about how important communication is. If you don't have good communication, people aren't going to recommend you. You know, you're not going to get that word of mouth business. So I think that's definitely one value that's often overlooked in entrepreneurship, because communication can make or break your business in general.
Very true.
And then, yeah, and then also I loved what you said about focusing on what's really important. So obviously communication is very important, but oftentimes I agree with what you said about entrepreneurs getting so focused on the flashy stuff, spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a website, you know, a fancy logo, all these flyers and stuff that really doesn't matter, because you can have all that stuff, but if you don't have any money and you're not making any, you're not getting any sales and no one's booking you, then you don't have a business, you have a hobby, you know? So I think it's so important to focus on your focus, and in entrepreneurship, your focus should be providing quality service and then also making sure your products are amazing and making sure people can say good things about what you are putting out. So I always tell people, you know, if you're so focused on the website, well, okay, once you have the website, well, then what? You know, or what's your strategy after that? If your strategy is just the website, then, I mean, I'm not really sure what to say.
Because people aren't just going to come to the website. Like, you have to get the people to the website, you know, and I've spent $2,000 on a website. Okay, now what?
But no one knows you. Yeah, no one knows you exist. You paid $2,000 for the website, but no one knows how to find it, or and no one knows that you exist or that you offer these services. Exactly. So I think that's so important to focus on your focus as opposed to focusing on all the things that are pretty and make you feel all puffed up. No, do the work and focus on doing the work as opposed to trying to be all fancy and flashy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And last question here. What has this journey taught you about yourself? I think, and I ask you this because I think oftentimes in entrepreneurship, we lose ourselves in our business sometimes doing the work. And I, many times throughout my journey, have had to take a step back and say, you know, what has this journey taught me about me? You know, at the core of my business is Nia, and, you know, it's important for me to focus on how this journey is impacting me as a person. So what has this journey specifically taught you about yourself?
So Dominique is a perfectionist. I do not like to put out anything that is not absolutely perfect. And I've learned that it's okay to not be perfect. It's okay because I'm going to mess up. And I say that because I say that not to say that I'm going to be, you know, just lackadaisical in what I do. But it's okay to make mistakes. And it's going to happen. You know, everybody makes mistakes. And I'm one of those people, I'm ridiculously hard on myself when I make a mistake. If I have to buy extra fabric, or I have to, like, if I just have to do something extra outside of what I already planned in my mind, it's like a total loss. And I'm so hard on myself. But I have learned that it's okay to make those mistakes. And also what you said about taking a step back. So I have become a workaholic. I can really say that I've become a workaholic, and that's a good and a bad thing, because I do genuinely have passion for what I do, and I honestly have sewn, you know, 10, 12 hours a day. I can do it. Mm-hmm. I have done it. But what I find out is that I become burnt out, mm-hmm. and I find myself crying over my sewing machine because, you know, I just been sitting here so long, and because that perfectionist thing, you know, I have to get it right. I have to get it perfect before I lay down. I can't go to sleep until it's done. Mm-hmm. But it's okay to step away from the sewing machine. It's okay to take a break. I've taken, you know, week long breaks. I tried for my birthday. It didn't really work, but I did recently do it. And I took a break from sewing and from my whole business for like a week.
Wow.
And it really gave me, it was a refresher for me, because I could sit back. I didn't have to go in my sewing room for anything. All my orders were out. Everything was done. So it just really gave me a moment to breathe mm-hmm. from it all. And that's really important as an entrepreneur, because, like I say, you know, not only I became a workaholic, I'm sure a lot of other entrepreneurs are workaholics too. That's generally how we are.
Yeah.
Because we feel like we have to, you know, we have to do it. We have to keep going. We can't stop until we get to the goal, and we have to fulfill the vision. We have to do it. It's like one track mind focused on it, and that's okay, but you can get burned out. And I've been there, and it's not a good place to be, because, you know, you can be like, well, I know. You can get to the point where you feel like, well, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? And then you start questioning, is this really like the calling for me? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? And are these people really called to me? Because, you know, sometimes clients, and this is just being real. Sometimes clients, you get difficult clients.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to look past, okay, Dominique, why am I really doing this? Why are you really doing this? That's just business in general. So you just have to sometimes take a step back, take a rest, look over everything, refresh yourself, and then jump back in, because the marathon continues. It don't stop. So we just have to keep going.
Right.
Just have to keep going.
Yeah, yeah. I also think of entrepreneurship as a marathon. You know, it may never end. Mm-hmm. You have to keep pushing, even when things get tough. And I have found balance really in taking that step back, clearing my brain. I loved what you said about taking a week off. When you're an entrepreneur, you can do that. You know, if you put in three mm-hmm. of all your orders out, you can take a week off if you want to, and that's okay. I used to beat myself up about taking time off, and I was like, you know, regular people take vacation time. Why can't I?
Exactly.
Yeah. So remembering that we can take time off. We need to actually relax. We don't have to push ourselves to the edge, you know, just to prove to ourselves yeah. that, you know, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Finding that balance and taking a step back has helped me a lot. And it's nice to hear that someone else can relate. You know, I'm glad that it's helped yeah. too. Yeah,
absolutely. And for a lot of us, you know, we do everything. I do everything in my business right now. You know, I meet with my clients. I answer emails. I manage my social media. I sew all my garments. I make all the patterns. I take all the measurements. I do all the marketing. I do all of that.
Yeah.
And when you're doing the job of 10 different people, mm-hmm. you know, when one person's doing the job of 10 different people, it's so easy to get burnt out, and people don't understand that. And so we have to do everything. We don't really have a choice until we're blessed to be able to build a team, to be able to do all these other things and assist us in building the empire, you know? So it's easy to get burnt out. That's why it's so important to take that rest, child.
Yeah, we wear many hats, and it can be very overwhelming having to do everything. Like you said, I mean, when you're starting, you literally are doing the job that 10 different people. You need a secretary. All right. I need a virtual assistant. I also need a marketing yeah. expert. Okay. I also need a social media manager. No, I wear all of these hats. I'm all of this yeah. for my business too. And so for solo entrepreneurs, for small business owners, when that overwhelm sets in, you really just have to take a step back, or you'll lose yourself in your business and start questioning. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, you start to question, you know, am I even supposed to be doing this? I had a difficult client. Okay. Let me not question myself, and let me just take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right, so let's move into our lightning round. I call this the lightning round because it's just kind of our quick, it's our final series of questions, and they're just quick. I want you, I'm going to just ask them, and then you tell me the first thing that, kind of comes to mind for you.
Gotcha. Let's go.
All right, so what has been the most challenging aspect of entrepreneurship for you?
So the most challenging aspect for me has been pricing, being able to charge my worth. Being as I am a service-based business, I never want to seem as though I'm just in what I do for money. But again, this is a business, so I do have to charge accordingly for my time, my effort, and my creativity that I'm constantly pouring into my work.
Wow. I'm not supposed to comment on the lightning round questions, but I love what you said about charging your worth, not only based on the hours you put into it, but your time, your value, your creativity, all that. What you're charging for, not that it takes you 3 hours to sew something, you know?
Yeah.
That's just so important. I think we think about money and what we charge based on how much time it's going to take us to do it. But no, you're really paying me for the 10 years of experience I have in learning how to design.
Exactly.
Right. All right. Next one. So what keeps you motivated?
So the girl that I told y'all about that would cry in the sitting room, that was me. That keeps me motivated. The fact that there is another girl that is somewhere probably crying in the fitting room. She's probably crying in a mirror because, you know, what she sees isn't what she's been conditioned to see. The woman that grew up and probably still has that same feeling, you know, maybe she's been through a couple bad relationships. Maybe some guys have said some things to her. Maybe she's had a baby and, you know, her body isn't the same that it used to be. You know, my goal and what keeps me motivated is making sure that that woman doesn't feel broken, to make sure that that woman isn't sad and crying and, you know, feels as though she's not good enough simply because of how she looks. You know, how we look is, like I said, it's a gift. Like, all of it's a gift. Childbearing is a gift. Our hips are gifts. You know, everything is a gift. So if I can just motivate a woman or inspire a woman to feel the best that she's ever felt in a garment that I wear, that's what keeps me going.
Wow, that's so insightful. And are there any boss women that inspire you?
So I can honestly say that any woman that takes control of their lives, any woman that says, you know what, I want to be in charge. I want to change. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be broken. I don't want to be stuck. I'm working on me for my future and the future of those that are around me or connected to me in some way. Those are all boss moves, in my opinion. And any woman that has the courage to do any of those things are boss women. And of course, my mommy, she's a boss to me because she works a corporate job for 30 plus years. She's retiring soon. And, you know, she's learning a new amazing, skill, even in her fabulous 50s. And she's even teaching people how to learn that skill and bring them to that opportunity that she's been gifted with. So, you know, any boss woman that can just take charge, take change, no matter where they are, no matter how old they are, they're all boss women to me, and they all inspire me. So,
right. Yeah, it's never too late to walk into our purpose.
Yeah, never.
Right. And if you can give entrepreneurs listening the one piece of advice that has helped you the most in your experience working for yourself so far, what would it be?
I would tell any entrepreneur to just have faith. This journey is not easy. I'm not even going to boost you up and tell you that it is. You know, whether you're in year one or you're in year 10, it's not easy. Like I said, social media glamorizes a lot of things that this entrepreneurial life can be, the constant traveling, the ability to own your own time, but you just have to keep your values in the front. Stay true to yourself. Keep that integrity that I talked about before, and just remember that rest is just as important, equally as important as the work. Just keep your faith. Keep God first. Don't lose sight of the fact that your journey is yours. You have many people watching you. Some may be waiting for a downfall. Some may be rooting for you. Some may be real. Some might be fake. But at the end of the day, you know what you saw. You know your vision. And that's all that matters. So just stick to your guns and you won't go wrong.
Wow. Thank you so much for that, Dominique. Thanks for sharing your story and being vulnerable enough to give us a little insight about what this first year has been like for you and what you've learned. I think oftentimes we follow other entrepreneurs on social media and we never really get a glimpse at what it's really like or what the experience or what's contributed to their growth. So thank you for sharing with us what has helped you become who you are today and how this journey in entrepreneurship has gone for you so far.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. It was definitely a pleasure. I love opening up with you guys and your audience and just, just sharing. And I really hope and pray that, you know, someone was touched by something that I said. And, whether you started a business or you want to start a business, just go for it. Go for whatever it is. Even if you are on your job and you stay in your job, it's okay. Like, you don't have to leave your job. It's okay. You can, you can do whatever it is. You can do whatever it is. So just go for it.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And where can our listeners find you after this episode airs?
So you can find me on Instagram. The business page is DJanea Exclusive. Also, my personal Instagram page is The Dominique Janea, and you can also find me on Facebook at The Janea Exclusive on there as well. And also, if you're interested in any of my services, custom gowns, dresses, ready to wear, you can find me online at TheJaneaExclusive.com.
Hey y'all, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Stay connected in between episodes by texting business to 31996. You'll receive our business tip of the week and you'll also get our monthly solopreneur newsletter. We also have a private membership group that you can join to access group chats and bonus episodes every week. Visit patreon.com/thesolopreneurhustle or click the link below in the description for this episode to join our community. I hope you have a great week and thank you for supporting the Solopreneur Hustle podcast.